Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
We're going to explore the world of color. It's something we're surrounded by, but we don't often take the time to really think about it.
Color helps us make sense of the world. It gives meaning to the objects around us. It can evoke strong emotions, good and bad. But why? What is it about color that affects us so much?
Joining us now is Jude Stewart, contributing editor for Print. She writes about design and culture for numerous publications. And her book is called Roy G. Biv, an exceedingly surprising book about color. Jude, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, the first question that you raise in your book is why a book about color? So why?
Well, you know, it's just as you guys said in the intro, you know, color is so ubiquitous that it really rapidly becomes invisible. So I was interested in kind of capturing those moments where suddenly color is visible again. So there's a lot of different moments in life where that might happen, where you know somebody wears the wrong color to a funeral, or you paint a room a color that you realize is horrible as soon as the room is done. So those are the kind of mundane experiences that bring color to the fore. But you know, I wanted to collect a lot of fun and smart and, you know, indeed surprising stories about color, so that, you know, we could see all the different meanings that it has.
Is it actually, you know, kind of hard to define what color is?
Yeah, you know, I found a book that actually defines that color in scientific terms has 15 different meanings, which I am not going to relate right now. So, yeah, it's a lot harder to pin down than I realized. But, you know, for the purposes of the book, I kind of focused on things, the sort of aspects of color that you know, kind of impinge on ordinary life. So, you know, it's happening. Color is a perception thing that's happening in our brains. It's happening in our eyes. So if you're colorblind, you're having a different experience of the world than the rest of us. You know, it's happening to some degree out there in the world, and it's dependent on, you know, illumination, the light in the room, even the colors that are next to a color can impact how that color looks. So, you know, I could try to keep it at that level, but it goes much deeper even than that.
Well, and it can be one of those philosophical things too, can't it? I mean, am I seeing the same blue that you're seeing, for instance, or are you seeing something completely different? We have no way of knowing. I know definitely that seems to be the case with me and my husband sometimes.
Yeah, I've had that experience too, right? Yeah, it does provoke a lot of deep questions. And at the same time, the thing that I didn't mention here that's probably the most important aspect of color is culture. So, you know, we're walking around in the world seeing color and reading certain things into it because of the things that are that color. So, you know, red is, it might connote a lobster and has certain, you know, associations of elitism, but it also is a communist color. So that's a very worker democratic sort of notion. And if I'm from a totally different culture, I might be thinking very different things about red. So, you know, in China, for example, there are these things called red egg and ginger parties for babies. So you will literally dye eggs, hard-boiled eggs, a red color, and bring them to the party to celebrate a new baby. So the idea is, you know, red is auspicious, and it's bringing that sense of hope and luck. So, you know, culture is bringing that to the color. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do, is sort of stir the pot, if you will, of a color and see all the different things that will come up.
Well, and to use another example of that, in your section on the color yellow, you have some really funny quotes, and there's one by Alfred Hitchcock, which we'll get to, but also one where an artist is speaking with a reporter, and the reporter says, "Why did you choose orange as the color for the gates?" And the artist says, saffron, they are saffron. We get really attached to our notions of color.
Absolutely. In fact, throughout the book, I gathered a lot of quotes from people who are, you know, both famous and obscure. But the through line on the quotes is that it's some really strongly felt opinion about color or belief. And boy, it's really easy to find those. We all feel strongly, whether we realize it or not, about color.
Well, why do you think that is? I mean, it begs the question, why do we get so worked up about colors?
Oh, gosh, if I knew that, I wouldn't have had to write a book. You would think at the end of the book I would know that. But, I'm not entirely sure. Your guess is as good as mine. But I think it has to do with this combination of the sort of rational side of color and the things we can know about it, and the things, again, that are in our world that carry certain colors, and then the emotional side. There's a very long and literally centuries long debate between painters, between the notion of color and line, so whether or not one is more important than the other in a painting. You know, and the general feeling there is that color is emotion, and the kind of more primal side of our nature, and that line is the rational, cool, clinical kind of thinking side of our nature. And, you know, obviously those two are a complementary pair and sometimes in opposition. So I think it's just, you know, both sides of our brain are engaged with color.
Well, I want to dive into some of the stories you tell, because that's what most of this book is, sort of stories about associations of color. And, you know, to stick with yellow, do you remember that Alfred Hitchcock quote?
Oh, yes. I love that. He says he never eats, if I remember correctly, he never eats the yolks of eggs because he finds them just horrifying. And he describes them in this very Hitchcockian manner, that the yellow specifically of the yolks is so awful. Do you have the quote in front of you?
I can look it up? I do, actually. It says, let's see, I'm frightened of eggs. Worse than frightened, they revolt me. That white round thing without any holes. Blood is jolly red, but egg yolk is yellow revolting. I've never tasted it.
Exactly. I mean, I guess he's a bacon man. I don't know.
I'm not surprised by that somehow. Well, tell us some other colors, stories about colors. Green is a particularly rich one, I think.
Yeah, you know, in green, I was surprised to find that there are so many stories around the notions of green being a lucky color or being a very unlucky color. And that was something that kind of cut across different cultures, different contexts. I mean, once I found that, I just became a game of, you know, trying to find more stories that kind of hewed to that. So to give you some examples, green cars are considered unlucky. Green magazine covers tend to be called newsstand poison. So the idea is if you make a magazine cover that is predominantly green, it's not going to sell.
Interesting.
The one I really like is in China, men do not wear green hats, because the phrase wearing a green hat in Chinese apparently sounds just like the phrase to be cuckolded, so to have your wife cheat on you. So, you know, wearing the green hat is sort of saying my wife is cheating on me. So those are not... Those are not so popular in China. So that's the unlucky side of things. And then the lucky side, I explored things like why are dollar bills green. Islam has a very warm and positive feeling about green. It's sort of full of luck and auspiciousness and the color of Muhammad. And then there are a couple other things there. And then there are some that don't really fit into either luck or its opposite. So if it was good enough, I included that too.
Well, why are dollar bills green?
Why are dollar bills green? Well, you know, this is an example of one of those stories that they give an answer, and at the same time, it's a little bit about the myths that kind of spool around it. The answer is not really satisfying, but why people talk about that answer as being true is more of the interesting thing. So, you know, what happened is initially there were dollar bills were representative of gold that you had at home. So I think they were introduced during the Civil War. So you would have a dollar bill that said, here's my, you know, IOU for the gold that I have at home. And those were printed in any color, and then gradually systematized to green. And when I looked this up on the Fed's website, it says, green is a color that indicates solidity, and you know, it's just a bunch of stuff that you could have guessed, and I'm not entirely sure. At the same time, one of the things I've learned about green is that it's very difficult to print a green accurately. So there's often a mismatch between what you think you're getting and what you actually get. So it could be that as they perfected the notion of printing green, that, you know, this is a sort of method against counterfeiting. So, you know, a little bit fact, a little bit lore on that one. I wouldn't swear by that, but that is something I've come across that I thought seemed plausible.
Is there a color that, you know, among all these colors, people are the most divided about, or either they passionately love it or they passionately hate it?
Well, you know, I feel like the color black has kind of come in for a bad rap. So when I was looking into that color, I walked in with the notions that everybody has about that color, that it's negative, that it's evil, that it's midnight, and tried to find sort of a lot of positive sides to that color. So to give you a few examples, there are people in present-day Iraq called the Uruk who think of black as being very a sign of fertility. So these are desert people. So if you think about it, you know, black soil is a sign of a recent rain, and that's really what makes sense as an association. It's not something we think about in this part of the world where we get lots of rain. So I was trying to go through with black and sort of find its sunnier side, if you will. Another example is in Arthurian legend, when you have a black knight, that is usually a sign of somebody who is incognito and generally a good guy. So you think of the black knight, you know, we think of black hat, white hat, and the black hat's always the bad guy. But in Arthurian legend, the knight wearing black is generally good and is, for whatever reason, wishing to remain unknown.
Interesting. Well, Do you have a favorite story in this book about color that you like to tell?
Well, I really like the one about the average color of the universe, which is something that a friend of mine introduced to me, who's a physicist. So there were a bunch of astronomers who were gathered at a conference, and this team of astronomers had done a study about the we're looking into the average age of the universe. So they're looking at something like 200,000 stars, and as you probably know, the color of a star is a tip-off to its age. So it goes through different color shifts over the course of its life. So they were looking primarily at these colors to figure out the age of the universe. But then, while they were, you know, done with their kind of meat and potatoes work, they thought it would be a fun postscript to calculate the average color of the universe as well, and introduce this in the conference. So, you know, with great fanfare, they said, "The color is turquoise." And, you know,
I bet the other scientists love that.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, so my friend was at this conference, and he said, you know, one of the running conference jokes was that people would be in the middle of a conversation and say, "Oh, I was talking to this woman in a turquoise dress, and she just disappeared into the universe." But, yeah, right, but I'm bummed. But then the funny thing is that another scientist later on looked into this a little more deeply. He was a color scientist in the Rochester Institute of Technology, and he ran the numbers again and made a good case for the fact that it was not turquoise. And so his case made the color a different one, which is beige.
Like turquoise so much better.
Yeah. Oh, you think it's better? Yeah.
That's so much better than beige. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I know. It's a little sad, I guess.
All right. Well, Jude, it's been fun. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Jude Stewart. Her new book is called Roy G. Biv, an exceedingly surprising book about color.